Tried, although when we were out of Wi-Fi range, could not keep up with every service that went on. But I hear things have been fabulous. God has been good. God has been ministering in the services. Praise God. With or without the Bartletts. Amen. Praise God. God ministered to us while we were away, gave us rest and relaxation and renewal. Praise God. Everybody needs that every once in a while. Renewal. I'm thankful for that. We can be renewed day by day. Amen. Praise God. I can come down just a little bit. I think I've got a little bit of a feedback ring going on here. Today the lesson is Miracle in the Community. Miracle in the Community. What is a community? Oh, that's for you to answer. What is a community? A town? A group of people that live near each other. Lots of communities in Alaska. Not necessarily cities. We may call them villages or towns or townships or mini cities, whatever we want to call them, communities, or even neighborhoods can be communities. Maybe the Scout Lake Loop is consider themselves a community within Sterling. The miracle in the community. Thought it was interesting they called this the miracle in the community because it literally starts in our community, where we are. And you're like, what miracle? What is starting? Well, you probably read the first little bit there. We'll get into it. Acts 2:39, we're going to be talking about the Holy Ghost today. Praise God. The miracle in the community. Where you live, your neighborhood, your town, your village, your city, your apartment building, your community. Amen. Acts 2:39, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Miracle in the community. Our lesson text is Acts 2:1-8 and 37-39. From that text, I just wanted to point out some things that you probably already know. But in verse 6, it says, now when this was noised abroad. What does noised abroad mean to you today? Spoken of, shared, heard, testified about, witnessed. They saw it, they heard of it. Whether it be face-to-face, social media, whatever it might be, they heard. It was noised abroad. What happened once it was noised abroad? The next three words. The multitude came. The multitude. This morning, you are the multitude that came because you heard. Something was noised abroad. You heard and you came. Do we want more multitude? Then we need to noise abroad. Amen. Praise God. It worked for you, did it not? Then it'll work for others. Praise God. The miracle in the community. Down in 39, it says, or 37, sorry, when they heard this. Heard what? What was going on in this particular passage in the book of Acts? When they heard every man in their own tongue, right? When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So it's important that we noise abroad. And when we noise abroad, the multitude will come. They will hear and see what's going on. They will be pricked in their hearts, and they will ask the very important question, what must we do? Sounds simple enough, doesn't it? All right. The miracle in the community. Focus thought. God planned for the miracle of salvation to spread to all generations throughout the world. So thankful that I can look back and see the generations in my family. There are not, everybody doesn't have that, but I believe that everybody that starts in this and they are the first generation, that is a powerful thing that can change the rest of the generations in their family. Praise God. Amen. Doesn't make me special because my grandma spoke in tongues. I'm thankful for that, but I need to experience that and make my generation me. I need to experience the miracle of salvation. Praise God. And then I can't let it stop with me. I must noise it abroad. I must noise it in my family and have them come and experience the same miracle of salvation. In our cultural connection, I'm going to read this because it's about Namibia, which I thought was pretty cool. The treacherous coast of Namibia has been the site of so many shipwrecks through the years that Portuguese sailors once called it the gates of hell. Pretty powerful. In the early 2016s, a company mining for diamonds along the coast uncovered one of the oldest shipwrecks ever found there. The vessel dated from 1533. I didn't even think they had boats back then. I missed that history lesson. And was discovered to have over 14 million worth of gold coins on board. Well, praise God. Pay tithes on that. That would be wonderful. This treasure was discovered at the gates of hell. Jesus said, Matthew 16:18, that the very gates of hell could not prevail against the church. His word further declares in 2 Corinthians 4:7, that every born-again soul has a treasure invested in it. That treasure is the indwelling presence of God's Spirit, which comes to us through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That treasure in earthen vessels, that treasure. It is freely given to every hungry heart, irrespective of the background. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter if anybody in your family has ever heard of this before. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your education level. It does not matter what your nationality is, what your race is. It doesn't matter. It is a free gift given to every hungry heart. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It does not matter. It is a free gift. Anybody thankful for the free gift? We could not in ourselves afford the price that Jesus paid for us. He paid it for us. He loved us so much. He came. He died. He gave everything so that we might have life. And this gift, this free gift, this is a treasure. Do you value the Holy Ghost today? Do you value the Holy Ghost? One can be living at the very gates of hell, and still there is a treasure there. Amen. Anybody ever felt like you were living right at the gates of hell? Praise God. There have been times that you just felt like you were being trampled down, and if I slip at all at this moment, I'm slipping through those gates. Right? God help us in those times. But even in those times, we can have a treasure in our hearts. Praise God. Amen. The name of the ship, anybody want to guess at that? Without reading your notes today, the vessel that went down nearly 500 years ago was christened the Born Jesus, or the Good Jesus. Our Good Jesus offers a treasure at the gates of hell, and it is worth far more than $14 million. Praise God. It is everything to us. I can't imagine trying to exist in our world today without God's Spirit, God's presence living in me. This greatest miracle. We have looked at, through this series, we've looked at a wide spectrum of miracles. The giants that have been slain, the axe head that swam. Okay. Swam. And I'm making up words this morning. It's all right. I've been on vacation. I forgot how to speak. An entire nation was delivered. But none of these great miracles, which they are great miracles, none of them can compare to God's greatest miracle. While the Lord is pleased with providing miraculous relief for financial hardships, miraculous healing of physical diseases, miraculous deliverance from a hopeless situation, anybody ever been in any of those situations and are thankful that God has delivered with His healing touch? His healing touch in your body, maybe a financial need was met. God, I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill, and then something comes through. That is a miraculous thing. God likes doing that for His children. Amen? I'm thankful for that, but that is not God's greatest miracle. The single greatest demonstration of God's miraculous power is when He saves a soul. When He saves a soul. What's more important, paying the bill or going to heaven? Getting that prized job or making it into heaven? What is more important in this life? Yes, it's important to take care of your family. And yes, it's important to pay your bills and be responsible, be a responsible human being, right? But what's more important? Your soul being saved. The greatest demonstration of God's miraculous power is when He saves a soul. Consider all of these other things. We've looked at other miracles, but there are wealthy people in the world who give to charitable organizations that help people that are in need, which would be comparable to God helping and orchestrating and setting up, and maybe somebody mailed you a check and it was at the last minute and it helped pay that bill. Well, there are wealthy people in the world that can do that. There are brilliant physicians who can go in and make something that is wrong in the body, make it correct and make you function properly, right? There are mighty armies and powerful people that could come alongside of somebody who is in distress, or even countries that are in distress, and bring them some measure of relief. But there is no one other than the Lord Jesus Christ who can deliver a soul from sin. Isaiah 43:11. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no, what? Savior. There is no Savior besides the Lord. Anybody thankful for the Lord's grace? It's an intervention in our lives. When we're heading down the wrong path, making our own choices through this life, and most of them are destructive in nature because we don't see the outcome. All we see is the pleasure of the moment. But the Lord's grace is an intervention in our life. He made a payment for the sins in our life. And what did we owe because of sin? The wages of sin are, it's death. Death. That's what the price was. And Jesus paid the price for you and I. Death, both physical and spiritual, was all that humanity could anticipate until the merciful intervention of Jesus Christ. He gave Himself so that you and I would not have to suffer, not have to suffer the wages of sin. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It is God's good pleasure that the message and the method of that miracle be shared with all living men and women and every child. What did our lesson text talk about? Noised abroad. Noised abroad. People need to know about this gift, noised abroad. Not everybody that's going to get saved in our area is going to walk through those back doors in order to see salvation in their life. It doesn't say noised aloud within your sanctuary. Noised abroad. The miracle in the community is sitting across the table and delivering God's word through a Bible study and seeing lives changed. Seeing lives changed. I've just got one short minute here. I'm going to, Brother Thompson at launch. My goodness, my brain's not working this morning. At launch, gave a side-by-side comparison of what happens in the natural and the spiritual when it relates to a birth from conception all the way through. And went through all of the scientific side of it and then compared those to spiritual things. And we were talking about celebrating the small things and the things we don't even see. We don't see that miraculous work of conception. When does life begin? It begins at conception. And that in itself is a miracle when that seed is planted in a Bible study. And there is now a little tiny bit, a light, maybe just a little bit of faith that builds up in that person's life. That is a point that we can celebrate. God has already started the work. We may not see it on the outside for years to come. 9 months, we don't see anything really to speak of that new birth experience. But there was a seed that was planted and life started at conception. And so when we are sitting across the table from someone and we're going through the word and the light bulb starts coming on. This is something that I need, a moment of faith. Or maybe it's that first time somebody walked through those back doors. That's a huge moment in their life. We do it all the time. We love coming to church. We love it. But for that first-time visitor, that moment they came through the doors, that was a huge step of faith and uncomfort. I don't know what I'm going to get into. These guys could be crazy. And we are. We're insane. But that's okay. We love Jesus. And He is worthy to be worshipped. And we may be shouting out, speaking in tongues, and they don't have a clue what's going on. But that was a huge step for them. To come in those back doors and sit and watch us worship God like we're crazy. Huge step. We need to celebrate the small things, those small seeds. It is God's good pleasure that the message and the method of the miracles be shared with all living men and women. It is not His will that even one soul should be lost, but rather that this miracle of salvation be experienced by every hungry heart. Every hungry heart. And believe me, there are many many hungry hearts. There are a lot of walls that are placed up that prevent us from seeing the hunger that is actually there. But I want you to believe with me today that there are hungry hearts out there in our community. The first few times that you talk to them, all you're going to see is the wall. You're not going to see a hungry heart. But there are hungry hearts that need God to move in their lives. Amen. Meeting in Jerusalem. I'm going to try to go quickly through this. The disciples meeting in Jerusalem. First, they had watched as their beloved Lord was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. Tried overnight before both corrupt and religious and political rulers, corrupt religious and political rulers, they were tried. They had to process the guilt that they felt for abandoning Him during that trying hour. This is the disciples who were going to be meeting in Jerusalem and tarrying there. This is what they had just gone through. And to have to watch Christ suffer, the agonies of crucifixion. Can you imagine what's going on in their minds during this time? Can you imagine than the joy that had overcome them when they realized that he had risen. And then to have him suddenly stand in their midst. Can you imagine? Have you ever gone through those swings emotionally? I've just lost it all. And now I got it back and it's better. Right? You go from the depths of despair where it's you can't even see the bottom when you look up. You're below that. Then to go to the joy of realizing that Jesus has risen, and then to see him standing in the midst in a closed room. Had to get in? Well, doors and walls don't really matter anymore, right? And then for some 40 days, he had walked with them yet again, taught them important lessons, and miraculously demonstrated his might. And now they're on top of the world again. We have a risen Savior. Risen Savior. Only to lose it again. They stood atop of the Mount of Olives and watched with vanishing hope as Jesus Christ disappeared into the clouds again. Wow. Highs, lows, highs, lows again. Right? But there was a promise. There was a promise. Acts 1, 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise. I know it's been a roller coaster ride over the last few days, but I'm asking you once again to just wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And so they waited. They waited for power. But ye shall receive power. This is Acts 1 and 8. Ye shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The Great Commission given to the disciples was of such magnitude that it was unreasonable to believe that they could ever fulfill it on their own strength. They did not have all of the tools and the technology that we have today. They can't reach into parts of Africa with their services. Not possible. Now, you know, there's the story of Philip. That was probably the first social media encounter in Scripture where he just was here and then he was there. Facebook Live, appeared, presented the word and baptized. And then lost signal and back to where he was, right? And so the Great Commission could not be accomplished without the power of the Holy Ghost living in them. It could not be done with their own strength or even their own abilities. We can noise abroad in our own strength. We can tell people. But it's not going to have the impact that we want it to have in our community. It is not going to be the miracle that we want in our community without the power of God working in us. Supernatural power both to live for Him and to work for Him. You ever had those dry spells where you're not praying so much, maybe not reading the Word so much? And you feel like everything that you're doing is just so that you can survive. And then God wants me to reach out to others. I'm barely making it as it is, hanging on by the skin of my teeth, which I don't even understand that saying at all. Skin don't have teeth. I mean, teeth don't have skin. Just waiting for anybody to catch that. No one did. Okay, good. Moving on. All right, we can't do it with our own strength, but God wants to give us power. to accomplish the Great Commission. And he will, praise God, both to live for him and to work for him. They continued in prayer. This is so vital that we continue in prayer. This is before the Holy Ghost is poured out. They continued in prayer. When you're seeking after God, it must be done in prayer. We're seeking you, God. I don't understand. I don't have a full understanding of this power that you're talking about. I just know that you said that you're going to send a comforter and things were going to be different. I don't know what's going on here. I don't understand all the facets. I'm trying to figure it out, but in the meantime, I'm going to pray. They continued in prayer. Approximately 10 days had passed as they waited for the most significant day of their lives, the day of Pentecost. These days were not passed in idle chatter or unimportant pursuits. How many have been caught up in that? Idle chatter and unimportant pursuits happens all the time. That is called life, and mostly life outside of God. I have small talk. Boy, this week, sometimes I struggle with small talk. I've talked about the weather. I talked about Alaska quite a bit. All the things that, you know, all that kind of stuff. Just sometimes it just feels like idle chatter. We're not really getting anywhere. There's no real purpose in what we're talking about, but we're kind of connecting and breaking the ice and that kind of stuff. These days were not spent with idle chatter and unimportant pursuits. Instead, they were spent in prayer. The 120 believers gathered there demonstrated an important truth to us, namely that if we would pursue spiritual blessings, we must do so with a spiritual mindset. If we want spiritual blessings, we must approach it with a spiritual mindset. What is important in life? Is it the idle chatter, the unimportant pursuits, the things that we put on this pedestal of we desire, we want to get to this, whatever it might be in life. But if we want spiritual blessings in life, we need to have a spiritual mindset. We need to spend time in prayer, spend time with Jesus. There is something truly effectual about those who will commit to prayer until the answer comes. Until the answer comes. No matter how long that may take, whether it is for a unsaved loved one or unsaved child or for a healing in your body, whatever the situation might be, probably the greatest situation is the unsaved in our area. But pray until the answer comes, no matter how long it may take. There has been prayer over this community for 50 plus years. But pray until the answer comes. They continued in prayer until the promise becomes reality. Do you have a promise from the Lord today? Pray until the promise becomes reality. Stay faithful until the answer comes. Pray until the answer comes. Stay faithful until the answer comes. It is so important that we stay faithful and committed to prayer. The day of Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost, 50th day after Passover. Not only was this a time when people of Israel would rejoice and give thanks for the incoming summer wheat harvest, but it was also a time for remembrance. God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. They celebrated this law. Now, how many people hate the law? Disregard the law. Don't want the law anymore. It's just a weight. They celebrated the law. Woohoo, laws, right? Isn't that exciting? But they celebrated the law that contained their written instructions for life. Why in the world would you celebrate law? It came from God. That's why it needs to be celebrated. Things that come from God, things that God blesses us with, need to be celebrated. Amen. It is notable that God chose this day to write a new law, one that was not on tables of stone, but written in hearts. Hebrews 10:16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in the minds will I write them. This was a great time to establish a new covenant. Amen. Writing the laws now on the hearts and in the minds of his people. The Holy Ghost fire fell. Praise God. There was a mighty wind. There were cloven tongues like as a fire. Can you imagine being in that room? I've been in services where it felt like there was a mighty wind and there was a roar throughout that place, and God's power fell and people were filled with his spirit. I have yet to experience cloven tongues like as a fire. But I don't negate that it'll ever happen, because it could. Praise God. But God is still pouring out his spirit today. Praise God. But could you imagine that very first experience? We've seen it time and time again. Not that it makes it a small thing. It's always an exciting thing when God fills somebody with a spirit. But you're in that room for the very first time and you've spent some time in prayer. And then all of a sudden, here comes the wind and here comes the fire. Can you imagine the excitement and maybe even the looks of fear? What in the world is going on? Oh, wait, I'm involved in this too. This is happening to me as well. Incredible. This was the indwelling comforter he had promised to them. The identity of this comforter was no mystery. Just as Jesus had promised this, was the very Spirit of Christ himself who had come to dwell in them. John 14:18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Praise God. Confusion among the onlookers. I can see that now. First time visitor walks in the door. There goes Brother Mario with the hanky. Running, making laps. Praise God. Half English, half Spanish. Praising God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Confusion among, what in the world is going on here? I remember we'd taken a family to camp and it was incredible. What a powerful service it was. And afterwards we were talking to them and just kind of getting, downloading what they thought was happening in that service. And it's like, I've never seen so many old men in suits jump up and down and run around. Where the people that were running, where were they going? And I loved it. That was the first time visitor's view of what they see going on. And it gives you opportunity to talk about the power of God and the infilling of the Spirit and our desire to worship our God. Amen. Praise God. But there was confusion amongst the onlookers. It's awesome. Word spread throughout the city in a matter of moments, and thousands gathered. Thousands gathered to see what in the world is going on here. And when they see what's going on, they look around and they say, are not all these which speak Galileans? Like, they're speaking in our language and they're not from where we're at. And how in the world is this happening? How we hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. And I love, don't ever stop worshiping. Don't ever bring down your level of worship because we have first-time visitors. Don't just keep on worshiping. What does that do? It raises the question, what meaneth this? What is going on here? Right? I need to know what this means. God's purposes on this day were much greater than just filling those 120 believers with His Spirit. This was the genesis of the church, the beginning, the starting point. People are going to ask, what's going on at Sterling Pentecostal Church? What's going on here? This is a place where we worship God, the God that filled us with His Spirit and changed our lives forever. Praise God. Don't ever back down on your worship. Praise God. Be apostolic in your worship. Amen. Hallelujah. Be apostolic in your life. Praise God. Be apostolic at Fred Meyer. Praise God. Be apostolic when someone cuts you off. Praise God. All right. Felt a little something there. There was a little bump in the spirit right there. Praise God. Be apostolic. Praise God. Be apostolic when you're in the drive-thru at McDonald's. I was tired the other night, and I'm telling on myself, being transparent. And I pull up to the drive-thru, and it's already 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and we've got a three-hour drive to get home, and we're exhausted, and had started that day at 7:30 because we had classes from 8:30 to noon, and then we got on a plane and we flew up here and going through drive-thru. And I said, I'd like a double cheeseburger. Come on, somebody. Can I get that in a value meal? And she said, we don't offer that in a value meal. And I immediately spouted off, well, then I'll have a double cheeseburger, fries, and a drink. That's a value meal. I don't care what it costs. Right? And then I apologized for my horrible attitude at McDonald's drive-thru. That was not very apostolic. I don't care how tired I was, I had no excuse to be non-apostolic. Praise God. Amen. But I apologized for that. When I got to that window, I said, I am so sorry. I didn't mean to spout off like that. That was rude. I apologize. And praise God. Amen. It's all right to be apostolic everywhere we go. All right, praise God. Moving on, because I'm running out of time. So let's see, where were we? Being apostolic. This was the beginning of the church. Peter's sermon. He was given the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Peter stepped into his divine destiny and began to preach to this crowd that had gathered. Why did they gather? We read it first thing this morning. Because it was noise abroad. People started to see what was going on. It spread like wildfire. Right? No pun intended. And so Peter stepped into his divine destiny. Sometimes we are afraid to step into our divine destiny in our community. This miracle that is going to take place in our community is when we step into our divine destiny. And our divine destiny is telling others about Jesus Christ and telling others about being filled with His Spirit and having our lives changed. And so he began to preach to the crowd. And he told them, this is a direct fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. Everyone that was there knew the scripture. And he explained to them, this is what was prophesied, and this is what's happening. And what's happening is exactly what was prophesied about. You don't need to be afraid of this. You need to get involved in this. And you need to let this affect your life and change you like it's changing us. Praise God. Amen. Don't be afraid to step into your divine destiny and preach to the crowd. Amen. Praise God. He preached about the identity and the deity of Jesus Christ. He proclaimed His resurrection and confronted them with the fact that they were involved in His death. When the lights started coming on, what did we do? And then beyond that, what must we do? How do we make this right? How do we get right? How do we get right? I know that we've done this. I'm coming to the realization that I'm a sinner and there's something that must be done. What must we do? Peter pulled out the keys. pulled out the keys. It's like, this is what you need to do. Let me unlock some truth for you. What a powerful time in a Bible study when you get the opportunity to unlock that truth in their life. Praise God. Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. From that time until today, the answer has always remained the same. What must I do? Acts 2:38. Praise God. What must I do? Acts 2:38. When a soul acknowledges his or her sin and seeks for salvation from it, the remedy is exactly what it was on the day of Pentecost in the first century Jerusalem. Nothing has changed. Praise God. We still need that apostolic experience of being filled with His Spirit, repenting of our sins, being baptized in the name of Jesus, and being filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is still available today. It is more than just a memory, what was recorded in the book of Acts, but it is a pattern for which we go by today. And it extends to generations to come. The Holy Ghost is available today. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is available today. Here's an interesting concept in closing. To those that are afar off, the promise of the Holy Ghost was to all that were afar off. The meaning of this phrase has to do not merely with physical location, but also spiritual heritage. Those that are afar off. All those present on the day of Pentecost were Jews. Though they hailed from different lands, they shared the same genealogical heritage back through Abraham. But the Gentile nations were soon to partake, praise God, with this promise as well. Starting with Cornelius in Acts 10. Those who were previously spiritually distant from covenant, they were afar off, were also included in the promise. Hallelujah. Anybody thankful that you've been grafted in? Amen. We were afar off, yet we have been grafted in. Praise God. Amen. The revival, you all know the numbers. 3,000 added on the day of Pentecost, plus the 120. And then 5,000 more being added days later. It was said of Paul after he arrived in Thessalonica that he turned the world upside down. Turned the world upside down. Unbelievable. That did not happen with one person on his own strength and power. That happened because of the power of the Holy Ghost working in his life. Today, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Living water. Before the sun goes down today, it is very important that we obey the words of Peter. It is very important that we repent of our sins. Then our heart will be prepared to partake in the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle that you will ever know. When you join the community of those baptized with the Holy Ghost, the miracle continues, and it is a promise for you today. Praise God. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Anybody here thankful for the promise? Amen. It's a promise to you, and it's a promise to your children. It's a promise to all those that are afar off, those that don't even understand or even know anything about it today. It's a promise for them as well. It's a promise for your friends. It's a promise for your coworkers. It's a promise. Praise God. They can experience it too. Praise God. Yes, sir. Unity. Praise God. Amen. 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 And why is that unity there? Because if we are all filled with the same spirit, how can we not have unity in our church? Praise God. Amen. Praise God. I'm so thankful for this church and the unity that is there. Praise God. As we go before the Lord today in prayer, let us remember the Wades. Brother Wade's sugar is still high, and we need to pray that God touches his body. We need to continue to pray for Amy and a soon-coming baby. Praise God. Amen. That is exciting and scary all at the same time. Praise God. We need to pray for Sister Esther this morning, Sister Stella this morning, and continue to pray for Brother Steve Adams. Amen. Amen. Let's pray for our service today, our worship service, that God would move and minister to every need, every life in this place today, in Jesus' name. Let's pray together. God, we love you, Lord, today. God, we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, God. God, we thank you, Lord, for the greatest miracle of all. We thank you, Lord, for your Spirit, the outpouring of your Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter that you sent, God. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would continue, Lord, today to pour out your Spirit. God, I pray today for the needs that are within our church today. I pray, Lord, for Brother Wade. I pray that you would touch his body, God. I pray that you would be with Brother and Sister Wade today. God, strengthen them, Lord Jesus, today, I pray. Let them feel your presence today, God. I pray, Lord, for Amy, God. I pray that you would keep your hand upon her. In Jesus' name, her and Jordan today, in Jesus' name, with this baby coming, I pray, Lord Jesus, that everything would work out all right. I pray that your hand would be in everything that is about to happen, I pray, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, for Sister Esther, God. Pray that you would touch her, Lord. Strengthen her, raise her up, I pray, God. In Jesus' name, God, Sister Stella today. In Jesus' name, God, move into these situations, God. Move into these homes, I pray, Lord Jesus, that they would feel your presence, God. That they would feel your strength and your healing touch, God. In Jesus' name, God, we keep praying for Brother Steve Adams, knowing we're going to continue praying for Brother Steve Adams, knowing that you've got everything in your hand, God. I pray, Lord. Lord Jesus, that you would continue to touch him, God, in his body, God. Continue to give him favor, I pray, in Jesus' name. Now we pray for our service today. God, let your Spirit be poured out in Jesus' name, God, as we lift you up, as we worship you in this service. God, I pray that you'd pour your Spirit out, change lives, bring your healing touch to every life that comes to this place today, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.